In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may blow out your candles. Well, today is one of the major feasts of the church, by many titles and themes. The Feast of the Presentation of our Lord in the Temple, the Feast of Candlemas, the Feast of the Purification of Mary, the Feast of the Meeting with Simeon, and yes, Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day is directly linked to this feast. And I'll explain that in a few moments. But there's so much richness, so much layered meaning of this feast day. I'm reminded of a very personal memory in preaching class in seminary when the homiletics professor had two pearls of wisdom for the future priest. He said, first, you should have a very good beginning of your sermon and a very good ending, and as little in between as possible. And he said, and this was the real pearl of wisdom, he said, people, you have the rest of your lives. Preach all the sermons in you. Please don't preach them all at once. I'm tempted today to preach them all at once, at least 9 of them, because today is so rich. But we have a lot of added prayers today, and the blessing of candles, the singing of the Angelus, will go over time enough. So I will try to stick to one sermon, but at least with 3 points. Point number 1, today is primarily a feast of our Lord Jesus Christ, the feast of his presentation. 40 days after his birth, after Christmas, he was dedicated in the temple. Secondly, today is a feast, a Marian feast, devoted to the Blessed Mother. 40 days after childbirth, a mother was to make her sacrifice for purification in the temple and then return to her regular religious duties in Judaism. And thirdly, today is a light feast, thus the blessing of our candles and the holding of our candles in our hands. So number 1, today is the feast of Blessed Jesus. 40 days after his birth, Mary and Joseph take him to the temple to dedicate him according to law, in essence to give him to God, and then to offer sacrifice, in essence to buy him back, to redeem him back. And that came with the notion that they would not be owners of this child, but mere stewards to raise him and to care for him. And when they went to the temple, they met 2 aged people, Anna and Simeon, and thus begins one of the most beautiful stories of the Bible. And indeed, the story of our Mass. Anna was an aged woman at the age of 84, prayed day and night in the temple, looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon was an aged man who believed that the Holy Spirit had promised him that before he died, he would see the face of Messiah. And the story goes that they come with the infant Jesus and they placed Jesus in the aged Simeon's outstretched arms. And Simeon suddenly was renewed with the strength of a young man. And he burst into this amazing song of gratitude that we lovingly refer to as the Nunc Dimittis, Latin for the first 2 words of the song. Now, Master, your servant can die in peace because mine eyes have seen. And he blesses the baby and he offers a prophecy about Jesus that he would be the rise and the fall of many in Jerusalem and how wonderful this would be. But he also has pain and a haunting take to his prophecy when he turns to Mary and said, Mary, one day a sword will pierce your soul. Those words would come back to Mary 33 years later when she stood at the foot of the cross of her son. The story of Anna and Simeon is the story of our Mass because their story is the promise of the Mass. When Jesus, the Word personified, is placed in his arms, Simeon is renewed. Simeon receives an amazing spirit. The promise of the Mass each and every Sunday is that the presence of the Lord Jesus is placed in our outstretched arms and we're revived 2 times in 2 ways, through the Word and through the sacrament. And so when we hear the Word, yes, as Christians, we say the Word is instructive. Scripture is inspiring. Scripture is affirming and sometimes it admonishes. But it's more than that. Our faith promises something supernatural, that when we hear, our souls hear the scripture, we're revived like Simeon. We are renewed. And whether we feel spiritually numb or spiritually dead, whether or not our mind wanders, matters not. Because our souls have ears and they are nourished. And then the second time is the sacrament itself, when we receive the Holy Communion. And yes, we all agree that the Eucharist brings us Christ, but it's more than that. It's more than that. The Eucharist serves as manna for us. Remember the story of the ancient Israelites in the wilderness for those 40 years? God gave them manna to eat and sustained them for their journey. The sacrament of Holy Communion sustains us for our walk in the Lord. And it's not superstition. It's not magic. It's not priestcraft. But it is supernatural. So think about that. The next time we feel bored, the next time we might neglect the habit of what it is to come to Mass, think of the image of Simeon and Anna and how they were renewed and strengthened. And that is the promise of the Mass. And then secondly, today is a Marian feast. Again, Mary made her prayers and sacrifice for her purification. Today is the day that we honor Mary. And at the end of the Mass, we will end by praying the beautiful Angelus. You know, I've never known a human being that loved Mary, that was devoted to the Virgin Mary, who didn't love and adore her son. Because Mary's vocation in life was to bring Jesus Christ into the world. And that vocation did not end when he was born. It continues to this very moment. Mary brings Jesus to people. I love the phrase, Jesus through Mary. So many people say to me, I'd like to know Jesus more. I hear others talk about a personal relationship. How do I do this? One way is to love his mother and to see what Mary can do through the prayers of the rosary and through the other devotions to her, how she can bring Jesus into our lives. I love the story of Phillips Brooks, the very low church Protestant 19th century Episcopalian, considered the greatest preacher of the 19th century. But when he went to heaven, Jesus himself gave him a tour. He was touring heaven. All of a sudden, this procession of Anglo-Catholics came by with their statues and torches and incense. And Phillips Brooks says, Jesus, who are they? Jesus said, oh, they're friends of my mother. We're friends of his mother. And she brings us Jesus. And then finally, today is a light feast. And this goes all the way back to medieval Christianity. It was the custom that today, past the winter solstice and before the summer equinox, when we notice the days lengthening, that there's a celebration. Remember, before 150 years ago, before electricity, before technology, that meant something in industry. That meant something in our homes for the days to lengthen. And it was this day, because Simeon mentions the light of the nations, that theme of light, that the church, it was the custom to give the congregants a candle, not just to light here, but to take home as we will today. And they were to take home to use it in times of storm, in times of family crisis, in times of home communion. We don't use candles like that anymore, but please take it home and place it, as we do with our palms on Palm Sunday, in a precious place to remind us of the light of Christ. Because today is the last day of the Christmas cycle. From the first part of Advent to today, all feasts are dated in the proximity to Christmas. From now on, beginning with Ash Wednesday, they'll be dated in the proximity to Easter. But we're not to forget Emmanuel with us, the light of God with us. We're not to forget the Christmas story. As we look at the candles, these little candles we hold in our homes through the year, we remember the Christmas story. So remember that. And yes, Groundhog Day comes from this feast. In medieval Christianity, it was during Candle Mass that people enjoyed the lure, some of the superstition that if it were a cloudy day, winter would be short. If it were a sunny day, it would be long. The ditty went something like this. If Candle Mass be fair and bright, winter will have another flight. If Candle Mass brings cloud and rain, winter will not come again. And then some European cultures brought in hibernating animals to help them with the lure. Germans loved badgers, but when they immigrated to Pennsylvania, they were a little short on badgers. But they had groundhogs, and thus we have Phil the groundhog. So today, may it be a special and wonderful day for us, and may the depth of the meaning of this liturgy, the meaning of these stories, take place deep within our souls. Bless you. Amen.